Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise and the honor for your goodness and your mercies. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. We give you the honor. Thank you for a day like this. What a day to be alive. To see you walk from one generation to another. Working with the children at this level. Then we heard the testimony of the Ignite Conference, the youth, the older ones, the teenagers and the young adults. The one left here all the way to Ghana to set her school on fire. And then working on ministers, International Ministers Flaming Fire Conference, starting this week. And across board, across all generations. We are eternally grateful. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Thank you and thank you for what you will do this morning. And thank you because you are faithful. Be glorified, Lord. Lift up your hands everywhere. Because not one person will live here the same way they have come. Be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Doing our midst this morning what only you can do. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Welcome somebody to the service of God this morning, left and right, and be seated. Give the Lord the praise. I welcome everyone here this morning in Jesus' precious name. This morning, we shall be finished with an unfinished business from last Sunday. And I'm going to trust the Lord to be as sharp as I can on this subject this morning. It is the mind and the word and the mind, part two. The place of the word of God and the mind of man, part two. Want to first of all review what we did last Sunday, understanding the place of the word of God in the mind of man, and next want to understand how to walk with a wholesome mind. Last week we said how that the mind is central to the life of man. We said that the mind is the junction between the spirit of man and the body of man. Is a junction. Man is a spirit that lives in the body and has a mind. Also we said that the mind defines the well-being. a man. And the loss of the mind is almost, I think the person on the council may need to wake up this morning. Every department of the mind of man is affected, molded positively, and impacted by the word of God. So three things we said last Sunday. First, that the mind is very central to the life of man. And the first thing we said is that the mind is the junction between the spirit of man and the body of man. Secondly, we said that the mind defines the overall well-being of a person. That when the mind is lost, then it's as good as the loss of life. Thirdly, we said that the mind determines both the dignity and the destiny of man. You can see a professor lose dignity because he lost his mind. Even as much as losing memory can make somebody to lose themselves. But we say that every department of a man's life is impacted by the word of God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 to verse 2, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we see that the mind of man can be upgraded, can be impacted, and can be affected by the word of God. Then we began to see the departments of the mind of man. What are the departments? Number one, we looked at the intellect, which is the intelligence, which is the understanding, the comprehension, and that we have the mind of Christ, and that we have the intelligence of God. We are not meant to be dullards. The word of God makes provision for us. Secondly, we saw the department of the will and the choice and the decision of man, that the word of God helps us to know the right choices to make. The word of God shows us the decision-making process of God. The word of God shows us consequences of choices. Whether you make the right choice or the wrong choice, we see it. We looked at that last Sunday. And then we went into the place of the emotion. This was where we dwelt with a lot. The place of feeling. The place of well-being. We saw that God created us in His image. And God feels well. God can't be downcast. Man was made in the image of God, the God of dignity. And we share in the same inheritance with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs. Calvary provided a solution for the emotion of man. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes were healed. And we looked at the various things that areas that we can be challenged in terms of emotion, depression, that the Bible dealt with, rejection. We looked at low self-esteem, inferiority, complexity. We dealt with all of that. Fear. One we did not deal with last Sunday was bitterness and unforgiveness. It's a challenge of the mind. Mark chapter 11 verse 25 to 26. This, we are dealing with this for the first time now. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. This is one reason why we must forgive. Because we live in a world, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 18 verse 1, that offenses must come. Offenses must come if you go all the way down. Offenses must come, but woe unto him through whom the offenses come. There are people who will irritate you, people who will aggravate you. There are people that it appears like verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, because it must need be that offenses will come. There are people who it appears as if their assignment in this world, that you are their project.
There are people like that. You are their project. They don't have a life assignment. If they don't hate you, they don't have work to do. You haven't seen such people. That is, God gave you an assignment which you are pursuing. Satan gave them an assignment which is you. You have not seen that before. They are there very plenty. If you don't do anything, they don't have anything to comment on. But you must protect your mind and protect your heart so that they don't, in the course of doing their assignment, which is you, they don't destroy your own assignment, which is something more important. You know what somebody told Daddy Gio one day, and I heard it from his mouth. Told the story. That there was a man who hated him so much. There is nothing he will do for this man that will please the man. The man was a senior man to him in their ministry then, when his father in the Lord was still alive. One day he went and met his father in the Lord, and he said, "I don't know why this man hates me so much. There is nothing I do that will please him." He said, "Go and prostrate to him and tell him that you are sorry." He said, "Sorry for what? I should prostrate and say sorry for what?" He said, "Tell him you are sorry." So he went and told the man, "I am very, very sorry." The man said, "Useless man. Sorry for what? Stand up, my friend. Useless person." He reported back to his father in the Lord. "This is the outcome." He said, "Don't worry, just love him." Long story made short. Later on, the man publicly admitted. He said, as for him, he knows he's going to hell. That his only assignment now is to see how many people he can take with him. I am saying this to you so that you don't allow anybody use bitterness to take you to hell. They asked a Satanist. They said, what are the things you want, you people are sent to do to Christians? Said two things. Number one, ensure that they don't pray in the spirit, they don't pray in tongues. And number two, It's okay. Can you pause it there in the media room? That is interpretation that is currently going on in French. They are speaking like I'm the one speaking French. That is my voice in French. But I'm wondering why it is interfering with us right now. This current message is going on now in French, in my own voice. It's one of our people who did the invention and is, well, we're using it. Hallelujah. And so it is very, very important . Right, okay. That is the note I just got, that they want to transcendently. So, anybody watching online, is going on both in French and also in Spanish and in Portuguese. All in those languages so that you can hear it. And we are going to be utilizing it in the convention, this coming week convention, so that those who come will listen to it real time in their language, in the voice of the preacher. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I thought somebody will give the Lord a praise for that. So So we must deal with bitterness in that regard. And then Matthew chapter 18 verse 34. So the first thing is that if we don't forgive, we are not able to be forgiven. Then in Matthew 18:34, he said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35 said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Unforgiveness brings torment. Bitterness brings torment. So you must forgive. You must do your best to release those who have vowed to make life miserable for you on earth. You must make up your mind. Am I communicating at all? In fact, you must make up your mind that there are some people you don't want to hear anything from. That is somebody, brother, says, do you hear what this person is saying against you? And you know that this is a person who doesn't like you naturally. Say, I'm not interested in hearing. Am I communicating? They say, I just traveled to the village. There is this woman, you know that woman that hates you so much. What she was saying about yourself. I'm not interested. See you later. What venom do you want to hear from somebody who wants you dead? Nothing. So you must make up your mind. You see, in my medical school, one of the professors then told a story of a young girl whose mother died, and she was a young girl. She did not understand what happened to the mother. Next thing she saw was that her father brought a coffin and put the mother in the box, and she's wondering why his father putting mother inside box, suffocating her. Next thing she knew, the mother was buried. Nobody explained to her. She knew nothing. Before she could recover with her childish mind, the man has married a new wife. This new wife was maltreating the girl. This girl grew up hating the father because maybe the father killed the mother in her mind, put the mother in the box, put her in the earth, covered her, married a new wife that maltreated her. She was dying with blood cell cancer. A torment that came from that root. By the time this Christian doctor was interviewing this girl, and he was led to ask her certain histories about her life, and she mentioned this, he counseled this girl to please forgive the father. Forgive your father. He didn't know, he should have explained to you. He may not be the one that killed your mother. It's just a normal process of somebody died and they buried. Forgive your father. Forgive your father. I don't know why I'm saying this story, but it may be the benefit of somebody. Forgive your father. She tried and went and forgave the father. Under 6 weeks, blood cell cancer disappeared. Blood cell cancer disappeared just by the mystery of forgiveness. Bitterness is an invitation to torment. Bitterness is an invitation at times to incurable diseases. My wife and I begged the woman who grew with her husband. They had nothing before they married. You remember? Early when they were under 3 years as a church, we went to visit her in her house. She was down with a cancer. She grew with her husband. You know how that kind of, that is, I married you, you had nothing. Then they began to have money, got duplexes, houses, and so on. All of a sudden, this man kicked the woman out and then brought in another woman to inherit the labor and the sweat of this one. And that woman became bitter. He said, I built the house together with this man, and he has kicked me out and brought in another woman. She was dying of a cancer. We asked her, and nobody told us, but as I said, God is saying there is an unforgiveness. That's 20 some, almost 30 years ago. God says there is an unforgiveness, a bitterness. The prophetic and all of that has been on for long. My wife was there. She said, yes. It is my husband who has kicked me out and has brought in a young girl. I can't forgive him. We pleaded for where? The outcome was not good. Bitterness and unforgiveness. Today, I will be giving a call for those that are going to say, a father hurt me, a mother hurt me. I can go on and on, but if I go on like this, we might not go to the other things. A father hurt me, an uncle hurt me, a former husband or wife or something, and I am finding it difficult. I declare that a balm in Gilead will give you the grace. We'll 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 give you the grace. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, the Bible spoke concerning looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So we must forgive, because the root of bitterness brings trouble. I talked to somebody some time ago, and she said, if not that the record shows it, and if not that it is true and obvious, I would have said that that woman was not my mother. I would have said this woman didn't give birth to me. The bitterness and the hatred with which this woman hates me. There are people like that. And they move with all manner of bitterness. Some is a father. Somebody who was meant to be your father rejected you, forgot about you, doesn't think you exist. And you grew up like that. These are strategies of the devil to ensnare people and trap people's lives. But we must learn from Joseph. Joseph passed through so many things. His brothers wanted him dead. I'm sure you remember Joseph. When they met Joseph and Joseph said, how many are you? They say, we are 12 brethren. But one is dead. They were looking at Joseph in the eye and they are saying, you are dead. If it is us, that is when we'll arrange police for them. And now you are the prime minister. You are in charge of the government. And they came to you. You say, hold on a bit, I'm coming. Invite CIA, invite FBI, invite all the security forces. Arrest these 11 people. They just confirmed now that they actually wanted to kill me. They are guilty of murder. You are looking at me and you are telling me I am dead. That is, you did not only wish me dead, you have concluded me dead. But he forgave them. You know how? Joseph gave birth to 2 children. After all of this, the first one, he named him Manasseh, which means, I have forgotten. I have forgiven. Whatever anybody did against me, I forgive. I forget. The second one, he named him Ephraim, which means I am now fruitful. Until you forgive, you can never be fruitful. Forgiveness must precede fruitfulness. You must forget the things in the past so you can be fruitful in the future. You do not make any progress looking backward. You don't walk backward into the future. If you are going to go into your future, you must face forward. I am here to speak to somebody. Every spirit of bitterness, every spirit of unforgiveness, anything they have done against you in time past that has limited your life and your destiny, that has become a pain in your heart and constituted emotional disease, I declare it arrested right now in the name of Jesus. It is true that there are people who will be healed of hypertension, will be healed of peptic ulcer disease, arthritis,
even cancer, even migraine headache, some psychosomatic disorders, anxiety, neurosis, that will clear from the system if they just wholeheartedly forgive, wholeheartedly release, wholeheartedly clean people from their mind. And I believe that this message will reach somebody and they will take action in Jesus' name. And so the first department of the mind we dealt with was the intellect. The second was the will. The third was the emotion, which is where we are dealing with all the low self-esteem and all the inferiority and rejection and all the bitterness and all of that. The fourth department of the mind, please don't forget this. The Bible is designed to help every aspect of our mind. The intelligence, the will or the decision making, the emotion. Number four is thought and reasoning. Or did I do imagination? Let me do the thought first. The thought and reasoning. Our thought and our reasoning capability is affected by the word. And I want to say three things. Number one, the word of God connects us to the thoughts of God. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 to verse 11, the thought of God. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be. So the word of God is the container of the thoughts of God. Every time you are in touch with the word of God, you are in touch with the thought of the thinking of God. The reasoning of God. The thinking of God. The reasoning of God. Number two, the word of God encourages us to reason with God's word, or reason in God's word. The process is called meditation. Reason in God's word. Reason with God's word. Reason in God's word. Think the word. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So you use the word of God to think, what is this Bible saying? What is God saying? What does God want me to do? What steps am I to take? You reason like that with the word. It sharpens your reasoning. Am I communicating at all? You pick up a scripture, you pick up a verse. What is this scripture saying? What will I do with this word? What does God expect from me? When you reason like that, it sharpens your reasoning process. Thirdly, the word of God encourages us to reason with God. Reason with God. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know, iron sharpens iron. Reason with God. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, how is this possible? Lord, why do you say I should do this? Reason with God. Reason with God. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. So that is the thought and the reasoning aspect of the word. Now you move from there to vision and imagination. Number five, the word of God impacts our vision and our imagination. Vision imagination, picture. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4, the Bible said, I will stand upon my watch and set me up on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Hallelujah. I will watch to see what he will say. So there are three things I want to say about how the word of God affects our vision and imagination. Number one, the word of God encourages us to turn what we hear into what we see. Turn your hearing into your seeing. Summary is, the word of God encourages us to picture scripture. Picture scripture. Let the Bible not just be the scripture to you. Let the Bible be your picture. Am I communicating at all? What God is saying in his word, see it, picture it. Picture yourself in the realm of your healing. Picture yourself in the realm of the supernatural. Must put the scripture there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, all the way to verse 4. To picture the scripture. Secondly, the word of God shows us that God answers our imaginations like he answers our supplications. He answers our imaginations like he answers our supplications. This is profound. That God does not only answer our praying, he responds to our thinking. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So the things you are asking, God will respond. The things you are imagining, he also responds. Isaiah 65, verse 24, he said that. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. So what is he answering if you have not yet called? What is on your mind? What you wanted to ask that is on your mind? And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. They have not spoken yet, but I heard. Somebody say louder, amen. So take the scripture, picture it, and be conscious of the fact that your imagination, your vision, your picture carries weight like your prayer in the front of God. So you can picture the right things. So you don't imagine what you are not expecting. You don't picture what you are not expecting. You don't dwell on the things you are not trusting God for. Don't imagine negativity. Don't picture calamity. Am I communicating? Don't imagine negativity. Don't picture calamity. Picture positivity. Let your picture be in line with what you consider to be your future. Somebody say aloud, amen. And finally, the word of God shows us examples of people who succeeded by the power of vision. That encourages us to be people of vision. People who succeeded by the power of vision. Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. We saw Abraham succeeded by the power of vision. Lift up your eyes, all the land which I see, which you see, have I given unto you. And then Joseph in Genesis 37, verse 5 to verse 9. Joseph kept on dreaming dreams of his future, and he succeeded by the power of vision. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody lift your voice and say after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. Louder. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to use my imagination negatively, because God hears and answers my imagination, my vision. I will not use it negatively. I will use it positively. Oh! Oh! Oh!
Look at your neighbor, say, be careful what you imagine, because what you imagine will emerge. What you imagine will soon emerge. Either God will cause it to emerge, or Satan will cause it to emerge. That was why Job said, the things I feared have come upon me. The things I feared have come upon me. Don't use your imagination. Is a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon. He said, these people is one. And this they have begun to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Allah, 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 Allah. These were not Christian people. These were people who wanted to build tower against God. Yet God was saying that their imagination still had power. If they can imagine it, it will emerge. They were unstoppable with the right imagination. I've been speaking and imagining for a long, long time. We will go around the world. We'll be ministering. We'll impact lives. Change destinies. For almost 40 years now. Medical school. It's happening. Happening. People of all races, all color. We are going to Fiji Island, to Vanuatu. And some people in Australia say, that is not possible. How are you passing across us to go to Vanuatu and Fiji Island? By the time you arrive in Australia, Fiji is 5 hours flight. That is Australia that is meant to be the end of the world. When you arrive in Australia, you are still starting the journey. They say, but you are passing across us to go to this. They won't agree. So we want to give Fiji one day. They say they will not agree. Australia say we need time too. So there is a struggle now. We saw it since. There are meetings we have gone. Some of them, it's almost as if the only black person there is myself and my wife. The first time we went to Czech Republic, I know my wife, I know myself, and then one other man in that crowd that I knew were the only black people there. People of our color, Africans. We saw it long ago, longest time. Our challenge is that our own imagination is directed negatively. Just imagining frustration, imagining poverty, imagining, I'm going to go to the embassy. They must reject me. And they have rejected me before. I told my wife, in medical school, I couldn't have one receipt. To go and rewrite an exam in medical school is normal. Very normal. It's normal. I mean, it's just very regular. It's not that you are not intelligent. The subject, the scope is too wide to be able to read and cover everything. So, it's just some people just prepare for the receipt by the time they are writing the exam. you just prepare for the return match. In 120 in the second year, only 29 passed without receipt. So it's not that the person had received. I know a professor today who repeated a class. That is, we went ahead, they remained in the next class. Today is a professor, a surgery professor. So it wasn't dullness that made him repeat. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I told my wife I didn't have one receipt because I couldn't imagine that I looked at the board and they say fail anatomy, pass physiology, pass biochemistry. No, it's not possible. Fail can't appear there. It couldn't cross the mind. So it didn't cross the notice board. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It couldn't cross the mind, so it didn't cross the notice board. Do you understand what I'm saying? I prophesy upon you today, from this moment forward, may God engrace you to picture the correct picture all the time, to look, to begin to envision what you want and not envision what you hate. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Take your seat. Imagination is what brings about a lot of inventions. Can we get a car that can fly and then can land on the ground and steal a car? So somebody imagines that could be possible. Can we get a car that can, when you see water, you enter it and it becomes a canoe or something, it can be an amphibious vehicle. People just begin to imagine different things, and from imagination it goes to invention. From imagination it goes to manifestation. Somebody say amen. So we have very, very powerful departments of the mind that have been used negatively, that we are now asking, trusting the Lord for his word to help us with it positively. So the first department of your mind is your intelligence, your intellect, the one you use to succeed in school, to learn, your comprehension, your understanding. The second department is your will, your choice making, what you use to make decisions, where you say, okay, I'm going to marry this person, I won't marry this person, I'm going to travel, I won't travel. That is a department of the mind. You use the word to shape it, to impact it. The third is the emotion. I feel well, I am not feeling well. I am happy, I am not happy. I am offended and so on. That is a department of the mind. The fourth, or the fifth now, the fourth is the thought and the reasoning. What you use to think through things. So, how do I go about this situation? So what should be my conclusion? This person gave me water to drink last time. I did not drink the water. I offered it to dog. Dog drank it and died. So I'm reasoning and deducting. All right? So at the end of the day, what do I... So it means that this man wanted to kill me. Okay. So I now know who he is. Will I hate him back? Well, Bible says we should love everybody, so I'll still love him. Well, should I collect water from him another time? No. That is the you see, Archbishop Idahosa said, I will love him from afar. Archbishop Idahosa said, head without brain is weight to the neck. Hallelujah. So we must have head. So that is our thought and our reasoning. Anybody following me so far? Is anybody having any education here so far? Number fifth department is the one you use to imagine. Okay, so this is imagination, is pre-playing the future. Pre-playing. That is, you pre-play the future. That vision and imagination is a vision. Where you want to go that you have not gone yet, you are pre-playing it. You know what? You know, pre-play is the opposite of replay. That's the one we are going now. Pre-playing the future. This is what you are expecting. This is what you are trusting God for. This is where you want to be. Our challenge is that the devil manipulates our imagination to the point where we use it in the negative. All right. So, having done this fifth now, number six, department of the mind is memory. recollection is the department. And like I said, all of these departments are necessary for our lives. All of these departments are impacted by the word of God. Memory, recollection, recall. How does the word of God help us to deal with memory, recollection? This will be one of the most impactful departments if we use it well. My time is up. I'll take another few minutes. What does the word of God deal with regarding memory, regarding recollection, regarding remembrance? Five things. Number one, the word of God encourages us to refuse to dwell on negative memories of the past. Negative memories of the past, because it will destroy the future. Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 18. It says, "For thus saith the Lord," move to 19. Am I on the right? Did I say 45? 43, 18. "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Paul the apostle speaking in Philippians 3:12, "Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are in front." That's 3:13. Many people have been ruined by overdwelling on the past that they hate. The failures of the past, the mistakes of the past, the errors of the past, missed opportunities of the past. When you face the past, you pass away with the past. You just pass with it. Your failure of yesterday is useless to you except to learn from it. Your mistakes are unuseful except to learn from them. You don't want your past to haunt you. Otherwise, it will haunt you down from the future. And there are people who want to remind you all the time of your negative past. Run away from them. So this is what the word of God teaches us. Forget who did not marry you. It's not what to be on your mind right now. Otherwise, you can't get married. The job that you missed or you lost. Who treated you well and who did not treat you well. My wife tells me, at times she said, "So, there was somebody we sent some time ago, many, many years ago." Let me not go into the detail, but it was for a spiritual assignment, that is like buy equipment or go and do something that had to do with church. He diverted the money, ate the money or something, and then disappeared. When later I would see him, I had completely forgotten what he did. What he did. When he said, "Forgive me," I say, "For what?" I saw he was shocked. He said, "I'm so sorry for everything." I said, "I can't remember." He was the one that had to remind me. I said, "Can you see? You are the one who reminded me. I forgot." That is to show you that it is cleared out of the mind. My wife says, "I like your memory. I like how you remember good things, 30 something, 40, 50 years, you remember it. But the ones that are like this, you forget it on the spot. I said, God had to help me wire it like that so that I can fulfill my destiny. So that I can run the race and fulfill my destiny. I can run the race and just go where I'm going. If you remember everything you had, you will be stranded. They are like web that will hold you back. They just hold you. You look there, you remember what this person talked to, discussed something to you with somebody. You look at that person, the person backstab you. You look in the front. So when you look here, somebody who offended you is there, you turn away. You look here, another person is offended, you turn away, you look front. Yeah, offended, you put your face on the ground, and maybe you're the stone on the ground, you hit your leg. Offended, you look up and say, okay, let me just be walking like this.
Hey! Are you ready to practically disconnect from everything that is wrong in the past? Everything that is wrong in the past. Everywhere you failed, every mistake of the past, every closed door of the past, every error of the past, everywhere you messed up in the past. You want to forget it completely? Lift your hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to reject the past, to disconnect from the past, and face the future. I receive that grace, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat.
When this message was in preparation, this place of the memory was one of the ones that excited me the most. Now, number two, the word of God encourages us on not overdwelling on past success, so that future success is not aborted. On not overdwelling.
That is memory now. That is, oh, I succeeded. I did this. I got this. I got that. I made it. I did this.
You overdwell on how successful yesterday was. You will miss out on the possibilities and potentials of tomorrow.
In Philippians 3, 12 and 13, where we read, Paul the apostle was recounting, he said, I have not attained. Even though I have seen some things, but I am not yet perfect. So I am still pursuing. So that I can apprehend, I will catch what Jesus caught me for. I am reaching forth to the things that are in front of me. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth to those things which are in front.
That is, you make your present success history in a hurry. You make it history in a hurry. You make your current. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, when we went to Philippines last year,
I mean, so much has happened this year that I thought Philippines was last year.
Somebody asked me, he said, one of the young men, he said, people prepare for crusade like for 4 months, for 5 months to have one. And then by the end of the year, if they have done 4 successful crusades, the kind of Philippines, then you say that the year succeeded. Those are the kind of 4 crusades you put into 1 month.
Maybe you can show us the crusade trail again from January. Angkor Crusade, which was the first one in the year, Panama, which was a crusade, which was the crusade in the stadium there in Panama City. That one is enough for a year. Then Angkor Crusade, unprecedented crowd. They said the only time they had anything near that was when Archbishop Idahosa was there in the 80s. And then you went to Boko Makodi, Benin State University overflowing, and then all of that. Then you went to Pagadian in the Philippines. A city stood still. To the notice of the people, they haven't heard such a thing since their history as a city. Mayor was there.
All right, run rapidly. And then Manila, Philippines, all of that, Bielsa, Onitsha, Uniben, Benin, Aba, Nigeria. And then you keep going. Umaya, Michael Opara University, Newcastle, England was a blast. Maraba in Nigeria, Budui, Ibiraland, Okene. Okene Crusade was last time they had a thing like that was Rehad Bonke when he went to Okene. And then by the time you arrive in Jalingo, you should have been enough for the year. Jalingo made news everywhere. And that was still May. And then you come to Uyo, Managua, Nicaragua. About 7 of their delegations are coming for the ministers' conference from this Nicaragua. Explosive crowd, 100,000 or more, right there. And then you went all the way, and we are still going and going and going and going and going to Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Romania, Paris, France, Berlin, Germany, Riga, Latvia, and then Maryland. That was open air crusade in a stadium in America. And then, what is it that once that makes you go for the next one? The last one became history in a hurry. The last one became history. You don't sit down, settle down, and say, oh, wow, thank God, so much has been achieved. My wife asked me the other day, he said, at the pace you are going, what's your plan? I said, I'm trusting the Lord for this number of nations to be impacted. When I mentioned the number of nations, we now checked and realized that the number I mentioned is more than all the nations in the world. She just checked on this body and said, what are you talking about? The number I mentioned is almost 50, almost close to 50 or so. How many nations? More than the number of nations in the world already. It's like they say, how many souls do you want to lead to heaven? We say 20 million, 20 billion. And the whole world is about 8 billion. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But that is what to do. What you saw yesterday is good, but there's something more. What you are seeing currently is massive, is excellent, but there is something in front of you. The Bible says the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The Bible says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before the Lord. Is there somebody who heard what I just said? What you saw yesterday is good, but there is something more today. What you are seeing today is great, but there is something higher tomorrow. If there is somebody who is stepping into a higher tomorrow, you will stand on your feet with a shout. A louder shout, 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 a louder shout. Look at your neighbor by your side, say, what is happening around you may be great, but there is something greater, something greater, something greater. Don't settle for the great and miss out on the greater. And don't settle for the greater and miss out on the greatest. And don't settle for the greatest and miss out on the greatest. Hey! And tell somebody, don't settle for the greatest and miss out on the greatest. I don't know what you think, but I am prophesying right now. Anything that has tied you to your present level, your present level of result, your present level of impact in your career, in your destiny, in your spiritual journey, I declare that chain is broken in the name of Jesus. That chain
Jesus. You are released to the next level. Before the next 72 hours, somebody shall be testifying of your release. Before the next 48 hours, somebody shall be testifying. Pray in the spirit for 30 seconds. If you believe, you are being released. Larita si telebagada hadayada. Grata satala bada 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 bada. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. How many of you received something here today? Look at your neighbor, say something brighter is ahead of you. Something brighter is ahead of you. Something more critical is ahead of you. Don't over celebrate today and miss out on the tomorrow. Something bigger is ahead. Something more massive is in front. Hey! Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Masha tata fratokola hadiyadara. Let us atayala. Are you getting something today? That was why I told you when I came to the place of the memory, I was very excited because it spoke so much to myself. Thirdly, the word of God encourages us, first of all, to refuse to dwell on negative memories of the past. And secondly, to refuse to overdwell on past success. Thirdly, the word of God encourages us to recall memories of victory and divine interventions of the time past in order to experience victory and divine intervention in the present. Say that again. The word of God encourages us to recall memories of victory and divine interventions of the time past in order to experience victory in the present. That is, there was a time in your life where you thought you were dead and God came through for you and pulled you out of that death. Don't forget it in a hurry. Recall it frequently. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34 all the way to verse 37, David said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. In other words, this is not the first time I am facing danger. This is not the first time I am face to face with death. I faced lions before. I faced bears before. This man will be like one of them. In Psalm 78, verse 10 to verse 12, the Bible is talking about Israel. Said they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Keep going. All the way to verse 12. And forgot his works and his wonders that he has showed them. Marvelous things he did, but they forgot. Am I communicating? Whenever you remember that there was a time people surrounded you, they concluded you are finished, and there was such a mighty conspiracy, and out of nowhere Jehovah stepped in, and you yourself, you don't even know how you got out. Then you remember, when that is there, it charges your faith to say, hey, conspiracy, come. Hey, Come. You are nothing. You are nothing. I've seen your type before. I have seen your type of devils before. I have seen your type of conspiracy before. Am I communicating at all? Oh yes, it charges up your faith. It charges up your confidence. It charges up your audacity. When you knew that there was a time when you are financially flat, almost bankrupt, down, probably in debt, and suddenly Jehovah intervened for you and pulled you out of that setup and that setting. The next time, when situations like that confront you, you have the audacity. That is one of the best uses of the memory. If you want to shout, shout it louder. How many of you remember what Peter was doing in Acts chapter 12? When Herod wanted to bring him out to cut his neck, after they have cut off the head of James, what was Peter doing? What did the angel meet him doing? He was sleeping between two quaternions of soldiers, bound hand and foot. That is, hand is tied, legs are tied, up a quaternion of soldiers, 4 times 4, 16 of them, right? And he was sleeping, okay, between two soldiers. He was sleeping between them, bound hand and foot. How can you sleep when you know that tomorrow they will cut your neck? Where did the sleep come from? You should be thinking of what final instructions to give you. I've seen such before. It's impossible. I sat briefly in the prison as a medical doctor. And I witnessed a man who was sentenced to death. And he was, let me not describe the job, right? This man's eyes was as red as the earth. The night before, no sleep, right? But Peter was sleeping. What would make Peter sleep? Just one, many things, but one. That was not the first time Peter was in prison. He was in prison before, in Acts, I believe, Acts chapter 5, when the angel came and loosed him and said, go to the temple and preach the word of this life. This is the second time he was in prison. And the angel said, go and stand and speak in the temple. The angel released him. What was making Peter to sleep? I have been delivered before. This is not my first time in the prison. If he has done it before, he will do it again. Hey! If he has done it before, he will do it again. If he brought me out by the ministry of the angels, he can bring me out again by the ministry of angels. Heaven is not running out of angels. To help me preach to 7 people. If he has done it before, he will do it again. If he has done it before, he will do it again. If he has done anything before, he will do it again. If he has done it before, he will do it again. If he has done it before, he will do it again. Say, just think about what he has done before. You cannot die of accident because he brought you out of an accident before. Hey! Hey! You cannot die of accident. He brought you out of an accident before. You cannot die of plane crash. He brought you out before. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You cannot die of witchcraft attack. He delivered you before. You cannot die of attacks of wicked people. He delivered you before. Somebody say, it's too late for the devil. Too late. I just give you one simple assignment. Maybe 2 or 3 things. All the times death came at you,
and you escaped, write it down. That is, maybe there was an accident, they pulled you out of something. Maybe you were choking in the night, you didn't know you would come out. Maybe you were face to face with gunmen, and for one reason or the other, they didn't pull the gun. Maybe you had two car tires flat on the spot, and it was going to go into some assault. You write them down. Every time the devil say, I will kill you, show him the list. Hey! Hey! Every time the devil say, I will kill you before your time, show him the list. Say, devil, see this list. Where were you when I came out from under that car? Where were you when I came out from that hospital? Where were you? Where were you? Where you day? Where are you day? We were flying from somewhere in Europe some time ago. My wife and I, remember? And the plane was coming like this. Mercy, Lord. Because the commercial flight. Everybody was shaking. Everything was back, 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 back. Pilot came online. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we just experienced the failure of our automatic landing system. It was as if the plane was about to head there for a crash. Then God was inside. My wife looked at me and is very strong sleeping. And then later on I said, no, it was said in church, if it will crash, we will not enter. If we have entered, it cannot crash. The word belongs to everybody, both to the speaker and to the speakee. Hey! 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 Ay 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 ay. There are some lists you need to make. And you just, and the devil say, I'm going to deal with you. Let's leave the list. Where were you? Satan, see your list. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Your testimony, your deliverance of yesterday, your healing of yesterday, your breakthrough of yesterday, your liberty of yesterday is a deliverance weapon for today. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Those are all the types of things you put on your list. Many of us, it is only in heaven that you will see the number of traps you were set free from that you didn't know. Death that didn't die you. Was sent to die you. You didn't. Many of us, if God should show you everything, you won't be here. There is no anger against God at all. And if he has shown you all your deliverances, you will walk with your chest like this. You say, devil, where are you? I'm looking for you. Because you saw the mystery of his deliverance. So this is the positive use of your memory. Victories of the past. Interventions of the past, deliverances of the past. My own list will be longer now. I'll make another. I made one before, and I'll make another one again. Our Yede was saying he made a list some time ago. How many times death came against him? Almost 30 something times, or more. Then he was in the hotel, as if his breath was going,
And then the devil, I think, went for a program, and the devil said, "You are dying now. Now." While he was battling, he said, he heard a voice. "What are you doing here?" He said, "Me, I don't know myself." So he stood up from that almost choking death situation, carried the car key, entered the car and drove and said, "Devil, I'm going. Let's go to the road. If you're a devil, follow me. Just follow me. Follow me and try if you can kill me. Let's go to the road." Hallelujah. In the name that is above every name, Jesus the resurrected Lord, every devil looking for you that they thought they succeeded against your family or your brothers or loved ones, today I declare their massive failure. Take your seat. So, first of all, never use your memory on negative past. Secondly, don't overdwell on past successes. Thank God for the success. Appreciate Him. Honor Him. Glorify Him. Then move rapidly to the next things. Move rapidly to what is in front. Thirdly, recall memories of victory. And number four, the Word of God encourages us to use the memory of enemy action of the time past to move with the mantle of vengeance in the present. Enemy actions of the time past, you use it to move with a mantle of vengeance in the present. Let what the devil try to do against you, against your family, against your father's house, let it charge you with anger in the moment. Deuteronomy 25:17-19. I made a list some time ago. I called it anger list. See, it said, "Remember what Amalek did unto you." By the way, remember, use your memory. When you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met you, by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind you, when you were faint and weary, and he feared not God. 19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God has given you rest from all your enemies round about, in the land which the Lord your God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall clean out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Clean them. Thou shalt not forget it. Which means there are things to forget, and there are things not to forget. Not forgetting in bitterness, but in vengeance. Devil, you wanted to finish me, I will be the one to finish you. In the year of 1988, I was coming from Jos. 88. That's like 40 years now. And around Akwanga bends, between Lafia and Akwanga, those bends there, I was meditating on the word. Meditating on the word. All of a sudden, this vehicle that I was inside was trying to overtake another, just like overtake me, I overtake you, that kind of game. And then it just suddenly entered into a bend. And next thing, he began to somersault, swerve from the road. I cannot remember the number of somersaults, but I know I felt my head touching the roof of the vehicle down. Jesus! Jesus! Then I saw, I don't know, again, but I saw me sitting outside the vehicle. I saw my bag was with me. Beside me.
While that was happening, I faced down, prostrated down, flat face, worshiping God for such a deliverance. Oh Lord, what is it? Some people came and they were pointing torchlight. This one is dead. This one is dead. They pointed torchlight at me. It was around 8 p.m. I said, this one is alive. Lifted up, I stood up. While on that road, a doctor from Just University Hospital from our side, he's in the UK now, Dr. John, a gynecologist. He came, saw me. By this time I was sitting by my bag and just worshiping, looking up. Sir, oi, what's happening? That was how he harvested me from the road. And I followed him all the way to Makurdi that night. Arriving in Makurdi, my sister's, my niece, who is a consultant gynecologist now, my senior sister's daughter. You see, uncle, I saw a dream last night, the night before the accident or something. He said, I saw Satan pointing and saying he's going to deal with himself, not me. Satan. And she didn't know what had just happened. Satan. So Satan was literally on the road looking for someone to kill on that road. He wanted to kill person so that the crusade you saw now did not hold. 38 years ago. So I got up, I said, really, you saw that? I was good. Let Satan know that between me and him, I'm the one to deal with him. That dealing has not stopped yet. It has not, and it will not stop till Jesus comes. You want to finish me? I will finish you. I will be the one to finish you. I have the authority of Jesus to finish you. So there are things the devil wanted to do against you in time past that you remember to charge your anger. You remember to push you into fasting, push you into desperation, push you into praying. Lord, give me a mantle to set my community free. Give me that mantle to set my family free. Give me that mantle to set my generation free. The devil who wanted to kill me and kill my father's house and kill everybody around me, I want to kill that devil. Give me an anointing to kill that devil. That was what Moses went back to Egypt with, the mantle of vengeance to deal with that devil that dealt with his father's house. Somebody say a louder amen. You remember some people that the enemy destroyed around you when you didn't have power, when you didn't know God. Let it charge your anger. Let it infuriate you. Let it annoy you. The Bible says, be angry. Be angry. So anger is a command. Be angry, but sin not. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So it charges your anger. It charges your violence. At times you remember some things, you begin to roar afresh. Are you hearing what I'm saying here at all? Lift up your hands now in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to someone here today. Everything the devil did against you, he will pay for it. That amen is too paralyzed. Try to do against you, against your family, against your father's house, he shall pay for it in this season. Every area where the devil wanted to waste your life, waste your time, give you a bad name, a reproachful name, he shall pay for it. Receive the mantle of vengeance to make the devil to pay for it. Shout yes! For every calamity the devil caused you to experience, the Lord will give you equivalent positive publicity. For every negativity the devil has tried to attach to
to your life or attached to your name, the Lord will give you equivalent positivity of news. You believe, shout yeah.
Take your seat. I hope I have not over preached this morning. Look at your neighbor, say, did you hear something this morning? There is a way to use your memory. Finally, number five, the Lord, the Bible teaches us how to remember and recall our history with God in order to sustain our destiny. Your history with God, remember it. Where you were, where you are coming from, how to remember and recall our history with God in order to sustain our future with God. Where were you before God picked you? What covenant did you make with God before you are where you are? What promises did you make? What level of humility did you have before compared to now that you are seeing some help? In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and in verse 13 and 14, we saw how David was recalling. He said, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you, and it is your own thing that we are giving to you. I remember who am I? I was in the bush when you called me. You bypassed my father's children to anoint me. Who am I? How can I be proud now? How can I raise my shoulder? I remember the fastings that I did in the days of my youth. I remember the consecrations. I remember how studious I studied the word. How can I forget now? Am I communicating? Many people forfeit their future because they forget their past with God. You know, I told you there is a past not to forget. The negative past, you forget it. But your walk with God that brought you to where you are is not what to forget. If you doubt me, ask Solomon, ask Samson. A consecration brought forth Samson. The mother didn't drink wine. He was conceived in consecration. He forgot that history. He ended in chains in the prison. Eyes plucked out. He couldn't remember who he was and where he was coming from with God. Solomon, who loved God so much and built a temple, now built 1,000 shrines for different women. He ended in disaster. The kingdom of Israel was divided under the reign of his son. Scattered. I want to beg you, you are going to go far, but please don't forget where you are coming from. Don't forget your root. Don't forget your history with God, your roots in God, your history in God. Whatever brought you here is what will keep you going. Anything you do that brought you where you are is what will keep you going. I've been fasting for 40 something years. It has not reduced. Maybe it has increased. Because, 40 something years ago, I did not fast for a whole year. Right? But that is a normal practice today. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Anything that brought you where you are is what will keep you going where you are meant to go. Don't use your memory positively to remember where you came from, where God brought you from, your condition before now. No matter what people say about you, don't forget where you are coming from. Because the people may not know where you are coming from. They may not know your covenants with God. They may not know your agreements with God. They may not know your discussions with God. They may not know the detail of anybody. You know, you are the one that came, that came from the history you have. There is a reason why we will never be able to raise shoulder like this. It's not possible. I've preached around the world. When I come home, I see crusade crowd on Sunday morning still. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. When we come, we lie on this altar. There is no empire builder. Because we know where we are coming from. We are thorough dealings with God. They call it death to self. Thorough. Thorough dealings. Thoroughly cooked. In those days, we cried to be used of God. Cried. You will go places. May your memory be a blessing to your life. May your memory be a blessing to your life. May your memory be a blessing to your life. Lift your hands and say, Father. Say, Father. Say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your help and your mercy towards my life. In the name of Jesus, I receive your grace never to forget where you brought me from and never to forget what you did to bring me here. Never to forget my covenants, my agreements with you. Help me, Lord, to remain in touch and in tune with you so as not to forget the future you have for me. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. So how many departments of the mind have we talked about today? If it was the children convention, they would have been screaming since. They would scream all of it off their head. But let's scream it from the screen. Number one. They would scream it from their head. Number one. But what happened to us adults? What happened to us? You give them 7 points. You say, what did I say? Number one, number two, number three. All right. What? The first one is what? Intellect, intelligence, understanding. Number two, will, choice, decision. Number three, emotion, feeling, well-being. Number four, thought and reasoning. Number five, vision and imagination. Number six, memory, recollection, recall. There is a seventh one I will end there. It's called perception. Right? Where a person just perceives. The way people say, I have a gut feeling. A gut feeling. It's also called intuition. Perception, intuition, knowing. This is something that the Holy Ghost helps us with a lot, but even as unbelievers, something is telling you that this man is not a good man. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just feel something around the person. He has not said anything, but you know this man does not like you. How many of you have been around somebody and you know he doesn't like you? He didn't even say anything. He has not even acted in any way yet. But something is telling you he doesn't like you. That department of the mind would save a lot of us from trouble. But as children of God, it becomes activated. Now, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. So there are two things I will just say, and then we'll end there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. So we renew our mind with the word of God, so that you can prove, that is discernment, perceiving what is good, what is acceptable, and then what is the perfect will of God. So two things. Number one, the word of God charges the mind unto sharpness of perfection, of perception. It charges the mind unto sharpness of perception. So the word of God, now as an unbeliever, as a normal person, you can perceive some things, but whenever your spirit, you are born again now, your mind is sharpened, it charged by the word. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. The more you meditate in the word of God, the more you reason in the word of God, the sharper your perception is meant to become. You begin to pick things quicker. Number two, the Spirit of God is the spirit of soundness of mind. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Soundness of mind. I put in remembrance that thou thou of this gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of your hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So a working mind, a perceiving mind. So our mind becomes sound by the Spirit of God. Finally, thirdly, the Spirit of God grants us access to the mind of God. We are able to perceive things from the mind of God by the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible said, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So that is a perceiving mind. We can know the mind of God because we have the mind of Christ. We can access, and that helps our perception. I can share stories upon stories of my personal journey where perception is concerned. But because we have taken so much time, we'll round it off here. In the name of Jesus, may you never enter the wrong vehicle. Can I hear a louder amen? In the name of Jesus, may you never marry the wrong wife. May you never marry the wrong husband. In the name of Jesus, you shall never enter the wrong vehicle. In the name of Jesus, you shall never marry the wrong spouse. Are you ready for this? By the power of the perception, intuition of the Holy Ghost, you shall not put your money in the wrong business. You shall not put your money in the wrong hands. That friend that wants to kill you shall not be your friend. The Lord will show it to you on time, will reveal to you on time to disconnect from the friend. You know, but do you know our greatest challenge? We try to live our lives by sentiments instead of sensitivity. We are so sentimental that we are not sensitive. Oh, my, he's my friend. We knew each other since secondary school. Between secondary school and now, do you know what has happened to him? Do you know whether he has joined the occult, a blood-sucking group, between that secondary school when you knew him and now? Oh, no, we knew each other. We are childhood friends. We are like brothers. Meanwhile, you are now getting very uncomfortable with him. every time he speaks, you can hear something else in his voice. And you force yourself until you ruin yourself. You know what Saul said? Why did you offer the sacrifice? He said, the people were on me. And Samuel has not come like he said. So I forced myself. Anything you force yourself to do, you are likely to regret. Force yourself to marry the man. Force yourself to go on the journey. Force yourself to put money in the business. He just convince you. You don't feel anything positive in your mind. But you just say, let me just put the money and rest. Let me just put the money in the business and rest. The trouble is too much. Rest? You won't rest, oh. Money is gone. I want to sound this warning. Because most times it is not the fault of God. The signals are plenty. Handwriting on the wall, plenty. You lost your peace. You lost everything, yet you are going. Do you want to lose your life first? You lost your peace. You lost everything. You are still moving. You are still going. Your friendship is still on. It ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. While your heart is talking love, watch out what your mind is saying. Because love can be blind, but reality will cure the blindness. Very deep, right? Reality. Just all of a sudden, you just see reality. Say, is this what I am facing? Is this the person I'm calling my friend? Is this the person I'm saying I want to marry? Somebody was in a relationship and he's having all the signals, but he just keep going. When this girl lost temper at almost highway on the steering, by the time there was a traffic jump light, this man jumped out of the car. He said the anger could almost cause accident. He's driving, quarreling. Stop. Okay, excuse me. Bye. That bye is forever. Man wants to finish you. You say, but I love him. I don't know why, I think it is his nature. Normally he used to lose temper. I will trust God to help the Holy Spirit to help him when we get married. He's a nice person. It's just that he used to lose his temper. One man brought a woman to me. That is, if the handwriting is 100%, his own is 150% on the wall. He brought the girl. Psychedelic, gengelic, the kind of people that appear like their leg does not touch the ground. I said, I love both of you equally. But this thing, give it time and pray. At one point, I told him, oh, I don't think that this thing is for you. He said, you see, that is why I came for your counsel. I think he's a good person. I think he's a really good person. It's just that at times, some misunderstanding like that. He's a good person, you know. So I really came for your counsel and prayers. What are you talking about? I've given you a counsel. What are you talking about? Just pray with us. Just pray along. Which prayer? Oga went ahead. 2 months later, Madame signed for divorce. He said that she has said that he wants divorce. I said, okay, it is well. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This area of that part, don't take it for granted. So you don't regret. Don't experiment with your life. But in the name of Jesus, God will give you clarity.
Somebody who believes God spoke to you, stand on your feet and shout the louder, say amen. Stand up on your feet and shout the louder, amen. There are still people seated. Now everybody sit down 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Sit down 1 minute. And now you believe God spoke to you today. How many of you can say, I heard from everything from the beginning till now? Now stand on your feet with a louder shout. A louder shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. A louder shout of victory.
Now let me say this. Again, if you are a victim of wrong perception that made you to make wrong decisions, don't forget the first law. Don't overdwell on past mistakes, on past failures. Don't dwell on it. It's already done. The best you can do with it, maybe, anything you learned from is no longer a problem. It became a school. That situation was your school. Just ensure that nobody falls into the pit. Anyone you come across, counsel them from the depth of your heart. That is about to make your kind of error. Step into your kind of pit. Say, oh, no, please. This is life story. This is me, not somebody. This was the thing. I saw this. I saw that. Yet I did this. I want to beg you. You may not make people do what you say, but heaven will bear you witness that you tried to save somebody and they went ahead to do what they wanted. Am I communicating? That is one of the best ways, best thing to do with your mistakes and your failures and your errors, is to make somebody know, I was there and I want you to avoid it. And if you save one person, two persons, 10 persons, 50 persons, then your experience was not a waste. It has saved lives. Jesus was crucified. See the number of people it has saved. Your pain can become somebody's gain. Your disadvantage can become somebody's disadvantage. And once it produces such a result, then it was never a waste of experience. Somebody say aloud, amen. Amen.
Now lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. We are going to do some things in rapid succession so that we end on time today. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. El Shaddai, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. Lekito se frete sinadayava. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Mana sida. Larataho selina magalaragada sada. Leperete sita freto sine galayagalagada hora soladudu. Rata sete freda galaroda galagada sadi. Rata sete frete sida gola horate sida. Gola horate sida. Gola horate sida. Gola horate sida. Pereto gola magadazi. Take leprada galalala.
In the name of Jesus, pray this prayer with me and say, Father, I think we should place our hand on our minds. Head is the point of contact to our mind. Say, Father, I surrender my mind to you. Let it be useful to you and let it work for you and walk in the favor of my life and destiny. I surrender my intellect. Let it be used for you. I surrender my will, my decision, my choice making. Take it over. I surrender my emotion. Take it over. I surrender my thought and my reasoning. use it for your glory. I surrender my imagination. Let it be useful to you. I surrender my memory, my recollection, my recall. Let it be useful to you. I surrender my perception, my intuition, my knowing. Let it be useful to you. In the name of Jesus, help me not to miss it another time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your voice and speak to God right now based on what you just spoke. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high. Anywhere you are today, you are in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want today to mark a new day. Pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Say it louder. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone who prayed that prayer, wave your hand. Let me see you. Wave it high. You pray the prayer of surrender. Let me see you. Over on this side. On the galleries, wave your hand. Let me see you. Pray the prayer of surrender. All right. In a short while, I will invite you forward. I'm going to invite you forward. But in this moment, how many of you can perceive a breakthrough in the climate, in the atmosphere? You perceive a breakthrough in the climate, in the atmosphere. All right. I'll make us to celebrate for about 3 to 5 minutes. To celebrate answers and results that we already received. But take your seat 1 minute. You are here this morning. You have been a victim of very, very terrible bitterness. You are offended so badly. You've been finding it difficult to forgive. You want the grace to forgive. You want the grace to pardon those who hurt you. You want that grace. Can I see your hand? Because if I say I should make an altar call, maybe the altar may be filled. Don't be shy. All right, stand up on your feet if you can. Place your hand, one hand on the chest, and leave the other hand up. Emotional healing is part of the package of redemption. I'd like you to release everyone who is a object of your hurt. Please, I need all movements arrested. The grace gate. Say Jesus. Say it louder. Say Jesus. I receive the grace to forgive. In the name of Jesus, I release. You can call the name of, or the name of the person or institution or entity. I release this person, this entity, this institution. I release them now. In the name of Jesus, I release them. In order to fulfill my destiny. In order to fulfill my destiny. In order to attain to my future. I cannot hold my life down by living in unforgiveness. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Place your hand still on the chest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of bitterness, unforgiving spirit that has crippled the life of these people.
I rebuke you. Lose your grip right now. Get out in the name of Jesus. 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 I command that you receive the grace.
That's right. The grace to forgive. The grace to release the offender. The grace to pardon. Release that grace upon you. Now.
In the name of Jesus. And every consequence of bitterness. Every consequence of unforgiveness. Every disease that has come as a result of that, I declare it cleared out in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So shall it be. Give the Lord the praise.